Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
We're back.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to West 5 Pod, a podcast about WVU football, the Big 12 Conference, and 2025, the year of the Mountaineer, is what I'm hearing. Sources are telling me. We're back. I'm Joel Bracken, WV Stats guy. He's Jordan Pinto, Game Day Shorts. We're here. It is January 15th when we're recording this, and guess we got some transfer portal roster management sort of things to tidy up and talk through some college football playoff. How are the holidays and into the new year, Jordan? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I think first week of the holidays, like Christmas week, you know, good. Everything's good off work. So having the kids home from school is fine. Working lightly. You know, the week of New Year's, kids still home, so that's good. But then, you know, Snowmageddon last week, I'm back at work, my wife's back at work, we're both working from home, and it's a week of snow days. And, you know, you're questioning your sanity by about, you know, 11 a.m. on Tuesday, but the girls are back in school this week. And so some sense of routine and normalcy has returned to my life. I've been able to exhale a little bit, and, you know, We're doing good again. We got football. We got basketball. Basketball is going amazing. We're recording this as West Virginia is taking on the Houston Cougs in a relatively empty arena. I don't understand like how you can have a top five, top 10 basketball program and like nobody's there to watch. But yeah, dude, it's been good. How was your break? You got a little break, anyways. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a break. Got to spend some time back in West Virginia, which was awesome. we got a good bit of snow up here in Columbus. I don't think as much as you guys, but I don't know.
We got dumped on pretty good.
We still got several inches on the ground. Things been good. Yeah, city's buzzing a little bit for the Buckeyes. You know, we're recording here. They play in the Natty on Monday night, I believe. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure I will find myself to a bar and enjoy the festivities, just because it's a fun environment when the Buckeyes are good. I can't lie, it can be fun up here to go out and just be a part of it. So and I feel like people can get on board for rooting against Notre Dame. Like, if you hate big schools, you probably hate both Notre Dame and Ohio State, but you know, I'll be cheering for the Bucks.
Well, and that's fine because you live there and it is fun, man. I remember when I moved to Charlotte the year the Panthers went 15-1 and Cam won the MVP. And it's fun to be in a town where like the town is just every like Thursday hits and it's like, oh, we got a game this weekend. And the buzz just hits. The Final Four, I mean, it's just a really sad state of affairs when like Texas is by far the best case scenario to win a national championship, in my opinion. Notre Dame for me is on par with Pitt, if not Ooh. Probably higher. Yeah, I hate Notre Dame. I like their coach, so I think I'm I don't know. Penn State and Ohio State obviously are probably like a tier below that for me, but I hate Ohio State's coach. So I don't know. I feel like I don't know. If the meteorite doesn't hit, I'm probably pulling for Notre Dame, but I can appreciate the way you feel about it of, you know, it'll be fun to be in Columbus for a couple days before and after the game if they win.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I mean, I have a degree from Ohio State, and at the time I went to the school, I was not really I was probably still on the like leaning negative side of things. And I think as I've lived in Columbus now, like, gosh, almost like 7 years, I've kind of went from like slightly negative to like neutral to like, yeah, I mean, on the national stage, I'm rooting against like almost any like national power, I think is kind of where I'm at.
They got something in the water. They replaced the fluoride and they put something else in that water to turn you.
Well, you know, it's like I said, it's like if it's Notre Dame, if it's Clemson, if it's Georgia, like, yeah, I'm rooting for the Buckeyes. Like, I live here. I'm going to pull for them compared to them. If it's West Virginia, it's not even a conversation. I actually went to the basketball game a few years ago that was up in Cleveland when we had Deuce McBride. And I was wearing my WVU gear, and I was teaching at Ohio State at the time, and I ran into some of my students at the game in all my West Virginia gear. So. No, there's no conversation between that. So,
you know, if you didn't have any flaws or red flags, I think that in itself would be a red flag. You know, people start turning up missing in Columbus, and I might give your name to the police. So, yeah, you know, I guess it's a feather in your cap that you have at least one thing like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we're just kind of getting on this tangent, but I feel like most Columbus sports fans have this hilarious affliction where, on Saturdays, they root for arguably one of the best teams in the country or one of the best programs over the last 20 years. And then on Sundays, they root for the Browns. And like Saturdays, they're like, we're the best. It's undeniable. And then Sundays, they're like, what do you expect? But they're just as passionate about the Browns. It's really funny.
Mountaineer fans have like the opposite problem. And it's like if you grew up in the northern part of the state where you watch the Mountaineers kind of be pretty mid to shitty to occasionally good on Saturday, and then you get the same thing on Sunday with the Steelers. So it's football purgatory here it's kind of funny. Like Ben hit the twilight of his career, like right as Neil Brown was hired. And so it's been like 6 years of,
hey, at least you make the playoffs like, every year. And
yeah. It's was that good? Yeah. I really enjoyed the game. Thank you for asking. Yeah. It was fun. It's fun. Yeah,
the Steelers are
Lamar Jackson keeps the first six read options and has like 70 yards rushing, and it's like, okay, that's how this is gonna go, I guess. So anyways,
so Mountaineer football, you know, we there's obviously not been any games, there will not be games until the big one versus Pittsburgh to start next season, but a lot of flowing of people in and out. I mean, I think the last time we recorded, everyone who was flowing out was at least in the portal. I mean, I think it's worth mentioning the Hudson Clement, you know, since the recording of the last pod has left. And, you know, I think you've seen a lot of backlash online, like people not happy. I don't know if those numbers were like official of what he got for, he went to Illinois, right?
Illinois. Yeah. I don't know if official, but it's a big number and I'm fine with not paying him that much. So,
yeah,
you know, Godspeed to him. Are we sure that he's ever been out of the state as not a representative of the Mountaineer football team?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Probably. I mean, you know, Martinsburg is like right there to Maryland and Virginia. Mm-hmm. I mean, both are easily accessible from there. So probably, but like, yeah, it's just a weird one, right? Like Illinois, you know, of all places. So,
yeah. And what was the number, like 600K or something?
600.
Like that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot. That's
money. I mean, yeah,
that's a lot.
Obviously it'd been cool if he stayed, but you know, go get your bag, whatever.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I mean, no hard, very limited hard feelings unless he does awesome there. And we are, you know, struggling at receiver, in which case I will hold a lifelong grudge, but yeah, for now, yeah, whatever, go get your money, man. Because
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't want to speak at it. I don't know if he's an NFL guy, right? So get paid.
Yeah, true. Yeah, yeah, take the opportunity while it's in front of you. He had a huge kind of end of the season there, so you know, get your bag while it's available. Mm-hmm. I feel like since we've recorded last, lots of people flowing in. You know, handful of Jacksonville State guys, but lots of guys really all over the board. We're going to kind of like, I guess, walk through each position and just like talk about the additions. I mean, I think we sort of talked about the depth chart last time, and there are definitely some places it's thin. It's looking better in a lot of those places, I think. Obviously still some places we need to plug some guys in, but was there like a singular guy that stood out to you, or like a big gym so far that has jumped out, or I guess how do you sort of rate the progress so far?
Well, I think it's good that the incoming has surpassed the outgoing, right? I think we had 24, 25 somewhere in there who left, and I think we're at 26 or 27 now who have come in. So at least from a body's perspective, you know, I think it's good that you have replaced all that. And, you know, I think we talked about it then, and it's certainly not an uncommon sentiment in the Discord and on the message boards and among the fan base of, you know, this is a team that was right around 500 for you know, most of the time that all these guys were on the roster. And there really wasn't, you know, maybe one or two guys where it's like, man, I'd hate to see that guy go. Mm-hmm. You know, that guy is probably not directly replaceable. And so, you know, I think what we've done, I thought the 24/7 guys phrased it well, is like that first wave of transfers, not really inspiring, but at least you can fill out a two deep with a lot of those guys, right? You know, you're checking boxes. It's like, we need dudes in this position. Maybe they're not the best players. But you know, at least we have some depth there. And then I think the second wave, the most recent wave, has been a little bit more exciting. You know, I think you look at guys, you know, an LJ Turner, Trey Edwards at running back, you know, Cam Vaughn, wide receiver, a couple of the dudes who we brought in the secondary. Are guys who, you know, on paper, I've watched highlights of at least most of them. You know, I'm not out there watching like scrubbing the L22 footage, but you know, on paper they you know are as good, at least, right? Possibly better than the guys who they would be replacing. And then, you know, I think the exciting one for me at least is Jalen Henderson, the quarterback from Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. Who played four or five games for A&M at the end of 2023 after some injuries, did really, really well, kind of came into camp in a quarterback battle, and I think ultimately lost the battle to Connor Wigman, and then got hurt, and then Marcel Reed kind of broke out, and he just kind of got lost in the shuffle. But he's a dude who, I mean, you watch him play, he's just got all the physical tools in the world, right? You know, I think I told you, like, I got in the lab with him on College Football 25. He's like a 78 overall, but the athletic stats, all mid to high 80s, all that kind of stuff. Very, very fun to play with in a video game. And that usually translates pretty well to a Rich Rodriguez offense. So really curious to see kind of how he does, because he definitely has you know, I don't know about processing. I don't know about locker room stuff, right? But in terms of just purely physical tools, he has a different level of physical tools than a guy like Nico Markiel does. So really excited to, you know, to see what he can do. Is he – so I saw you put on there. Is he a redshirt junior? I thought he was going to be a senior.
Do
you have 2 years or 1 year?
You're talking about Jalen Henderson?
Yeah.
I saw that he had 2 years of eligibility remaining based on the West Virginia Rivals article, just on the like kind of the recruiter tracker. But yeah, that's just what I saw. Because he's had a weird career where he kind of has only been in two real seasons and has had limited snaps outside of that.
Possibly could have had a medical red shirt for one. I don't know how all that stuff works, dude. It's crazy. There's like 6th and 7th year seniors, so.
Yeah, I know that we have some guys who have like, we have, I think at least two guys I wrote down have, this is the 6th year of football that they have like played in.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah. So I think he's one that sticks out. I think Cam Vaughn sticks out. I think Jordan Scruggs and Michael Coates stick out on defense. Tykeus Crawford, the tackle we just got from Arkansas, I think those are all dudes where it's like, you know, like those are real pools where we're competing with other high level Power Four programs for them, and we're the ones who got them. So, you know, I think those are the ones that kind of are like, oh, okay, yeah, here we go. You know, somebody's opened the checkbook, Pat or Ken or whoever, but somebody's opened the checkbook to get these guys on campus. So,
yeah. And I like kind of what you were describing about the sort of the waves of people. And I think I heard Caridi say something similar along the lines of like, you know, you're really trying your best right now to fill out a roster. And then come spring, because the portal opens again in the spring, right? Come spring, you know, okay, like we're maybe good enough in the secondary. We got to have a guy at linebacker or, you know, vice versa, whatever it is. You sort of know your spots where you need to maybe invest money and go get a dude to fill in.
Yeah.
Versus like, hey, you got a bunch of bodies and maybe, you know, 2/3 of them are playable and work. And, you know, that's the sort of idea here. But yeah, I mean, encouraging stuff. I really like the wrinkle you did. We added on the sheet where you went through and sort of got the college football 25 overalls for these guys, because there's several of them that are like, well, I mean, a lot of them are high 70s, or we have several guys dipping into the 80s. Which, you know, if you play those games, like, you know, a guy, we talk about these PFF grades all the time, you know, you just play college football 25, you see a guy who's a, you know, an 82 or whatever, like a school like West Virginia, like that's worthy of some playing time. So,
yeah, I think we only had 6 or 7 guys above that this year on the game, you know, Green, the two running backs, Aubrey Burks, and then Milam and Rimich might have been the only guys who were over like an 82 or an 83.
Yeah.
In the game. So yeah, it's yeah. PFF, like over 65 is good. NCAA football over like, yeah, over 81, 82 is a pretty good player. And yeah, we got a couple of those guys. So, I don't know. What do you want to, I guess, go position by position and just talk about how the new guys coming in kind of fit into a potential depth chart? Is that a,
yeah, let's do it. Let's
way to do this.
I think so. I'd say we'll just walk through and, you know, some of these guys I have minimal information on, but I mean, I think we'll hit on the big guys. So yeah, let's start at quarterback. So obviously Nico Markiel returning. You know, we got two transfers in. So Jalen Henderson was the one you were mentioning, and I'll let you expand on him a little bit more if you'd like. But you know, he has 2 years really of playing time. It was 2021 in Fresno and 2023 in A&M. So kind of the 22 break, the 24 break. And he has 2 years remaining of eligibility, at least what I'm seeing. Your other transfer is Max Brown. He has 2 years remaining. Played in some limited games at Florida and limited games at Charlotte. Not the best PFF grades for those times. So he has 2 years remaining as well. What do you like about Jalen Henderson? You said it's athleticism.
Yeah, I think it's physical tools, man. You know, he's 6'3", he's 220, and he can move, you know. And I think that's obviously a really good place to be starting from, considering the kind of offense we're going to be running. You know, lots of zone read, lots of quarterback keep, lots of speed option kind of stuff. And then sprinkles in a little bit of you know, he's a pretty good passer on the run. I mean, you look at some of these passing numbers. He completed – so didn't play much last year, but in – 3 starts for LSU in 2023, completed 69% of his passes, 9.3 yards an attempt, 6 touchdowns to 1 interception. I mean, that's an improvement on what we've had, you know, in terms of just pure passing numbers. Looks pretty good thrown on the run. Being that big and that strong, you would figure he's got a pretty strong arm. Looks like he throws a nice deep ball. So, you know, he kind of checks all the boxes of what I would imagine Rich Rodriguez is looking for. Mm-hmm. He has a cool name. Like I said, I played with him in college football 25 and had a ball. And that usually translates. So, you know, I think we got a couple questions about this, and we got a ton of questions, so might as well just knock this off here. Is, you know, does Nico, because he's the incumbent, have the inside track? And I don't necessarily think so. I mean, you know, both of them have zero experience in this offense. Like, what are you, I mean, any disagreement or?
No, I think it's wide open because there's no incumbent because there's no returning coach. I mean, I think that's the thing. If it was Neil, it's yes. But if it's new situation, you know, Richard doesn't have loyalties to anybody. I'm sure he's had conversations with Nico and all this stuff. But I think any well-functioning college program is under the assumption that the best guy is going to play. And,
yeah.
You know. So I don't know that he has the inside track. I don't know. I may be the favorite to start, but I wouldn't say he is going to have a preferred route to start.
I don't think you bring a guy like that here if you don't intend on giving him every shot of winning the job. You know, Max Brown, maybe a little bit different. I don't know. He's another big, strong, fast guy. But the performance, the productivity has been, not quite on that same level. He's a guy who was recruited from Florida. I think he was a 4-star coming out of high school, but was not great at Florida, transferred to Charlotte after a year and was not great at Charlotte this year. I think he only played in 5 games, but not good PFF grades, not good productivity numbers. But again, you know, a guy who can do the things that a Rich Rodriguez quarterback needs to do. Yeah, I think he's even a little bit bigger than Jalen Henderson. He's 6'4", 6'3", 6'4", and then about 230. So, you know, a big guy who can move. But I would think that it's a 2-man race at this point, probably. But yeah, I think it's any man's thing. I think Nico's perfectly capable of excelling in this offense. And so, yeah, it's just going to be who picks it up, who makes the most right reads, and who makes the most plays. Because, I've redone my deep dives into the Rich Rodriguez offensive tutorial stuff on YouTube, which is fantastic. If you have an hour to kill, you know, fire that up. It's awesome. But his offense it's not overly complicated. It is very much, you know, 4 or 5 base sets. You know, some variations off of that stuff. And then, you know, like not that many concepts. It's very much like, what is the defense doing? And we're going to do, take what they're giving us. So, whoever is the best at doing that and making plays off that kind of thing is who's going to play.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I would say I would give Nico, from what I know, 55% chance to start week one. I think he's a slight favorite, but
yeah, sure.
Yeah. But I do think 2-man race there. Okay, so let's move to running back. We got Jaheim returning. Big return there. I mean, think of the hype we had Jaheim coming off of last season, even coming off into this season. So Jaheim returns. 2 transfers we got in here. First guy, LJ Turner. He has 1 year remaining. He's a D2 guy. And other guy is Ty Edwards, also 1 year remaining.
Oh, I said Trey earlier. Oops.
I think Ty Edwards.
Ty's right.
Really, 2 really nice years at Northern Iowa.
Good, really, really good program. Really good program.
I was thinking their basketball team. They have some nasty March Madness runs, I feel like. But, you know, I like Ty Edwards. A lot of experience. I feel like he had 2 very full years, the last 2 years at UNI. 267 carries over the last 2 years there, back-to-back years of 82 PFF grades. They get him the ball about once a game in the passing game over those last 2 years as well. 6'4", 230. So there's your CJ, you know, replacement. Archetype replacement. Yeah,
your power back.
Yeah.
Your power back archetype. Yeah. Yeah, no, super productive guy. And yeah, like you said, fills a need. CJ left, so you need to have a guy like that coming back in, because there's obvious value in the running game to have a guy like that who can just lean on people. And he does. I mean, you know, you watch him, you watch his highlights, and it's just like people wrap him up and then they immediately fall down around his ankles because he kind of like half trucks him. And he's doing like the one-legged hop of like trying to get the guy of his ankle. It's like every single play kind of goes like that. And, you know, sometimes he'll slip out of it, sometimes he doesn't. But almost 5 yards after contact on average last year is I think the number that I saw. I don't know if you have his PFF grades pulled up. I can pull them up real quick.
I don't have them up, but I'm just looking at some footage, and I tell you, he looks pretty nimble for a guy 6'4", 230. Like, you know, like, I don't know, pretty athletic guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the balance is good, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so this year, 4.9 yards after contact, 40 missed tackles forced. The year before, 3.9 yards after contact, 31 missed tackles forced. So, like, you know, he's a fucking tough tackle, which you always need one of those guys on your team. And then I actually really like the other guy, too. I really like LJ Turner. You mentioned D2 guy, but last year in 8 games had 174 carries for 1,200 yards and 13 touchdowns. And if you watch him play, I'm kind of dating myself here a little bit. I mean, everybody knows I'm 36. So I remember Avon Coburn really fondly. And like, I don't know if it's just some cognitive or confirmation bias. I'm not sure which throw, you know, whatever. I'm not a psychology major, but he reminds me of Avon Coburn, the way that he moves, you know, and that's obviously that had a ton of success. Like that kind of play had a ton of success in the Rich Rodriguez offense. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think running back is like one spot, offensive line is another spot where like I trust Rich to evaluate and find guys who can work for him there. And beyond that, you know, there are some positions where I think that jumping up a level or levels in competition is tough. I don't think running back is one of them. I think that is one where it translates pretty directly. You know, just in terms of you either have it or you don't. This guy ran for 153 yards per game. Like if there's room there, he's going to find room even at the FBS level. So, really like both of these picks. And then I also, you know, the guys we have coming back, Trayvon Dunbar and why can't I think of the other guy's name?
D'Or Hubbard?
D'Or Hubbard. Yeah, Trayvon Dunbar, D'Or Hubbard, pair of redshirt freshmen who I think pretty highly of. You know, I think we have five guys there who, you know, probably only three of them are going to play significant snaps this year, but I feel really good about this room.
Yeah. And yeah, I do think that's a good call in the running back. I mean, his name is escaping me, but the guy for Pitt this year who stepped up from like Western Carolina,
Des Reed. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he stepped up quite the level and I think he had a pretty productive year. So,
oh, yeah, I think if you have it as a running back.
Yeah. Okay. So do you think that's a three guy room right now? Or do you think that's a, like, I was initially in my analysis was kind of like Jaheim, Ty Edwards, 1-2. Do you think LJ Turner's got some burn?
I think LJ Turner's got burn for sure. Yeah. No, okay. He looks good, man. Yeah. I really like what I've seen of him.
Love.
I mean, there's only so many snaps in a game. Shit. Yeah, you know, it's not like they can all get 15 carries, but
seasons long, you get three running backs into rotation often. I mean, you know, it happens. So,
yep. And I think all three of those guys can be productive. So
good to know. So both of those transfers have 1 year remaining. Let's move to receiver room. A room that was pretty gutted, but you know, the receiving, we talked about Huddy Clement. So, you know, returners, we got Rodney Gallagher. Is Jaden Bray returning? I wasn't sure he is. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So Gallagher and Bray, am I not thinking of somebody? Because it's thin. Preston Fox has like retired from football. I heard that.
So in terms of people who played, no.
Yeah, people who have played.
I think that's it. Yeah.
Okay. So four transfers in the receiving room, two from Jacksonville State. We'll start with them. Cam Vaughn, I think, is the big guy. The 3 years remaining of eligibility, had a really awesome bowl game, which I feel like was as the Rich Rod news was bubbling, you know, tuning in. He had a 3-touchdown game in the bowl, 78 overall in college football, 25. And yeah, I mean, just a pretty solid first year of productivity for Jacksonville State. The other Jacksonville State guys is Jared Bowie, 2 years remaining. He had 13 catches on about a 70 PFF grade. So what do you see out of these two guys?
Well, so one's going to be more outside. Vaughn is, I think, almost 90% of his snaps were as an outside receiver. And I think Bowie was the opposite. Bowie's going to be much more of a slot guy, screen guy. I'm not sure how much tick Bowie's going to get just because I think we have other options for that role that are probably better. Obviously Rodney Gallagher, Oren Singleton. I know we're talking about Jacksonville State guys, but Cam Vaughn, I think, is in a really, really good pool, obviously because he's familiar with the offense. He was very productive in the offense last year, had the second best PFF grade in Conference USA last year as a redshirt freshman in his first year of playing. And I think that, you know, the thing that he gives you that we lost probably with like a Traylon Ray type is he is a true big play threat. Averaged 16.7 yards per catch, had almost a 15 ADOT, had 3.2 yards per route run, which if you're not familiar with that metric, anything over 2 is pretty good. Anything over 3 is elite. And so this guy was an elite big play threat as a true freshman, obviously in Conference USA. But he's a tall, skinny, like 6'2", 190, you know, pretty much your like 1997 prototype wide receiver. He's fast, catches everything. So I think he has a chance, you know, I think he has a chance to be every bit as good as Traylon Ray was. You know, I know we're, I feel like it's been a lingering issue for us is like, who's the alpha, who's the number one.
It's been a while since I feel like we've had
it's been a while since we've had one. And, you know, I don't know if Caden he's not Prather the kind of guy.
Almost the last guy. I would.
Which one?
Caden Prather, I feel like is the last guy. Yeah. I was like, throw him the ball.
Yeah. Who it's like, he's going to go out and like, he can physically, like you can just throw it to him and he's going to be fine. I don't know if he profiles quite like that. Cause you know, like I said, he's only 190, 195, a little bit slight, in terms of like, you know, going out and bullying, Big 12 cornerbacks. But I think he's going to get open. I think he's going to make big plays for us. I think he's going to catch some touchdowns from whoever's throwing the ball. So,
yeah. I think situationally Cam Vaughn was like the big name in this receiver room, but you mentioned Orton Singleton. I like this guy's numbers look nice. 65 catches last year at Eastern Michigan. Pretty much always lines up in the slot. 73 yep. PFF grade. You had him as a 79 in College Football 25. Mm-hmm. He just from the numbers, he is like your run over the middle slot guy. Like, you know, go stand in the gap and get a few yards. But those are useful.
Yeah, I mean he fills a role, right? Like if you're trying to fill out your receiver room with complementary pieces, he certainly fits that bill. I'm gonna pull up. I had my note written down was the vast majority of his targets are within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, and are between the hashes. So, let me see his target share. I can't see the behind the line, but. It's looking like 65% of his targets are within 10 yards, and then 33, I'm trying to do some quick math here. I don't know. He had how many targets did you say he had overall?
He had 97 targets last year.
97 targets.
65 catches.
Yeah, yeah. So over half of them were within 10 yards of the line and between the hashes. So yeah, he's your pure slot operator. Only averaged like 9.8 yards per catch, but seems like the kind of guy who you can get the ball to. He's going to jitterbug around a little bit. Probably is pretty good at getting open between linebackers. You know, I feel like he's going to be a tough guy for linebackers to stick to in zone coverage, which obviously we saw. We were on the other side of that just constantly this year of guys were just finding ways to get open between our linebackers and moving the sticks. So yeah, checks a box for sure. I you know, think a good player.
Yeah. Yeah. His PFF grade between the numbers, 0 to 10 yards, 89, 10 to 20 yards, 92.
Yeah.
So love that. Good stuff. The last receiver we picked up, Cyrus Traw. I'm not sure how you say his last name. 3 years remaining. So this guy's pretty fresh. Youngstown State is where he's transferring from. Still has 3 years remaining. Last season, he had 36 catches and 5 touchdowns. You know, you got some guys in the receiver room. You know, at least I would say Vaughn and Singleton, I would expect to be in rotation for sure.
And, I think they'll be starters. Yeah. I think they'll be starters.
Yeah. So some bodies added in there. You also picked up 2 tight ends. Jacob Barrick. Another Jacksonville State guy, and Johnny Pascuzzi. This is a guy from Iowa, a tight end from Iowa, which sounds amazing on paper. He both have a year remaining. Both, I guess, were minimal catch guys, not super active in the pass game. But did anything stand out to you, either of these guys?
With Barrick, I think the thing that stands out is he's only 6'3", 230. So that's not, you know, I don't know if that's quite big enough to be a road grader of a tight end in the Big 12. I'm sure he's fine. He's a Martinsburg is he a Huntington kid or a Martinsburg kid? He's a West Virginia guy.
Okay.
And so, you know, has come back home, and so that's fine. And, you know, he gives us a body there, and we needed bodies. the thing about Pascuzzi, man, you know, everybody's like, oh, Iowa tight end. He was the, per PFF, he was the lowest graded offensive player that they had. And College Football 25 has him as a 68 overall, which is the sixth best tight end on Iowa. So if you're expecting, you hear Iowa tight end and you're expecting Noah Font or TJ Hawkinson or somebody like that, I don't think that
he might not be
Johnny I don't think Johnny Pascuzzi is that, but he's a little bit bigger. I think he's 6'4", 6'5", 250. So at least he has a power four body. And you know, he can at least somebody that we can throw out there and he can get in the way if Traylon Davis, you know, gets hurt. So,
yeah. So moving to offensive line, I think we talked about this in the last pod. I forget if it was the top six or the top seven snap getters, were gone on the offensive line. So you're gutted. Nick Cray, Landon Livingston, those are your returning guys who we expect to probably get some play. Four transfers in. First team all name is Walter Young Bear.
Yep.
1 year left, coming from multiple years of experience at Tulsa. Robbie Martin, he's got 4 years remaining, so he only played three snaps last year at NC State. So that's essentially like a freshman signing or like a high school senior signing in the way. How did you say this guy's name? Tykeist Crawford.
Yeah.
Okay. Tykeist Crawford, so he's has some run at Charlotte and 4 years at Arkansas. This will be his sixth season of college football. Those were the three transfers that we got on the offensive line.
And then Kimo Makaneole.
So is he expected to play
O-line? Offensive line. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It says he has experience on both sides of the line.
He was, so LSU guy, was four-star coming out of high school, offensive line for his first 3 years, and then defensive line last year. But if you look, so on College Football 25, he's actually a guard. He's listed as a guard. So they expected him to play guard. He was a 75 overall. I expect him to be fine. He's a big dude. He's like 6'4", 320. You know, so he's a big enough guy where you mentioned how many guys we lost. Like, I think we were just like trying to get to like, can we have 10 scholarship bodies to have a two deep at offensive line?
Really?
Certainly fits that bill. You know, is he going to be great? I don't know. Probably not. The other guys that you mentioned though, you know, Tykeist Crawford, right? So another four-star coming out of high school, played guard for a long time. Apparently he's going to play tackle for us. And if you look, so he didn't play much last year. He played in the first game of the season. I think he got hurt and then got buried on the depth chart. But in 2023, he appeared in, I think, seven games maybe without pulling it up. I had it up earlier. And, you know, the memory with this old age or whatever. But the last four games that he played in 2023, he actually played right tackle. And he played really well. He never graded out below like a 61 or 62 on PFF. And, you know, never graded out above 70, but was like right there in that like quality starter slot as a right tackle and against Florida, Auburn, and Mizzou. So like against real programs where he was playing a lot of snaps, started, played the whole game, and was good. So I think that's a great pool. We obviously, you know, Walter Youngbear is an interior player, probably going to play one of the guard positions. Livingston was center, probably going to start at center. We needed help at tackle. You know, we have Xavier Bosley, who I assume is going to play one of the spots. We needed another one with Milam and Malone and, you know, Hubbard and Yates. Like, pretty much everybody who could have played tackle for us last year is gone. So we needed those guys. And so this is a great pool. You know, Arkansas is known for offensive line. He's a big motherfucker. And you know, I think you can look at the offensive line now and you can actually see the pieces fitting together and you're like, okay, it's going to be maybe not as good as 2023 West Virginia with Milam and Rimmich and Zach Frazier and all these guys, but it's not going to be like, 2019 disaster.
Not year one.
We're averaging 2.8 yards a carry or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, no, the way this offensive line is starting to take shape is actually pretty encouraging just based on the gutting. And like I said, there's a whole other portal kind of phase, so you might even pick up additional guys.
Dude, that's
you might have some. I mean, Notre Dame this year started the season having, which we're not in the caliber of offensive line recruiting as Notre Dame, but, you know, they were full of guys who had no play.
Six returning snaps for the season opener against Texas A&M. Yeah.
So, and look where they've ended up. So, you know, I don't know who those guys might be bubbling up, but starting to take some shape. It looks like, you know, that you have some playable guys, which is fantastic.
Love the Robbie Martin pool as well. Highest rated player in West Virginia, class of 24. He was a guy, he was down to us in Virginia, or us in NC State. And when he went in the portal, you knew it was either going to be us or Marshall, because Gibby, I think that was probably his connection to NC State, was Gibby. Gibby went to Marshall, but got it. But yeah, man, you know, I was talking to Shovel Man Al, my buddy Al, over the weekend. And it's like, dude, you know, it's such a, what have you done for me? It's not even like, what have you done for me lately anymore? It's like, what have you done to me since like 8 o'clock this morning? Mm-hmm. And so like, we're all so focused on like the portal, like immediately now, without like thinking like, after spring ball, there's going to be a whole new crop of people who are unhappy with their situation, who can play ball, and we can go after those guys. So, I'm considering what we lost. I'm perfectly content with the offensive line as of January 15th at 9:30 p.m.
Yeah, agreed. Things are taking shape. So, all right, let's flip it. So D line, you talked about Chemo, so he's actually going to be playing offensive line. Yep. So, edge guy we picked up, Braden Siders. This is an experienced guy coming from Wyoming. Over 1,200 snaps, 72.6 grade in his last season there. You know, Wyoming's the kind of school you're, you know, I think a lot of these guys we're picking up either don't have a lot of play time or are stepping up a division. Wyoming at least getting some exposure to some, you're getting a few power schools a year there. So I don't know. Braden Siders is your pickup, and then Jamori Robinson. So what's the deal with him? Is he down to two at the time we're recording? VT and us.
It's us and Tech, and apparently he has some academic ineligibility potential. I think that honestly might be the thing that gives us the edge is that Tech's probably a little bit harder to get into. So yeah,
which he'd be a big get, right? He was the AAC Defensive Player of the Year.
44 pressures, 9 sacks. He ain't here to play fucking school, Joel. He's here to be the water boy. Well, yeah. So what I do is I try and get the quarterback, unless he gives the ball to somebody else, in which case I try to tackle that person. Like, that's what you're here to do, Jamori. We don't give a shit about your SAT scores, brother. Come on down. Come on down home. Alexandria. He's from Alexandria, so you know he's within our recruiting footprint. Junior college guy who was really good at JUCO, obviously, and then he's a guy. You know, Siders, you mentioned, solid PFF guy, 29 pressures and 6 sacks on 718 snaps the last 2 years, which pretty solid considering the snap count, right? Like if I saw that for a one season total, and he got hurt this last year, so that's why the snap count's low. Starter both years, but the snap count's a little lower. And like you said, P4 experience. He was good against Arizona State this year. Was bad against BYU. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But definitely somebody I think would be better suited as a rotational piece if we could get a guy like Jamori Robinson, who is 6'5", 250. He's 24 years old. I mean, this is a grown-ass fucking man, right?
who can go get the quarterback. Would he be our biggest get of the portal if we land him? I mean, AAC Defensive Player of the Year is pretty big business.
Yeah. He'd be one of the two or three. You know, I think either him or Coates probably. Who is a really good player. So
what I really like about, and I'm going to say this about most of our defensive transfers, a lot of experience. You got a lot of guys who have played a lot of football at this,
which
level
is what we needed.
Yeah. It's just a lot of guys who can be at least like molded into, they have the experience, they know, you know, how to respond to some of those things. So skipping up now to the linebackers, Chase Wilson, two transfers here, Chase Wilson and Ashton Woods. Chase Wilson, another sixth year incoming, 5 years at Colorado State. He had a 72 grade last year. 80 overall in college football, 25. So, you know, solid guy. And then your other one is Ashton Woods. He is not a high snap guy yet. 3 years remaining. He only took 2 snaps at University of North Carolina.
I think he might be 4.
He might have be 4 years.
Yeah, I think he was a true freshman last year.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, guys, opposite ends of the spectrum, right? In terms of in terms of experience. Yeah, Chase Wilson, not a sideline to sideline, you know, he's going to chase down running backs in the flat and everything, but in terms of like knowing how to play the position, you know, I don't know if you could have done too much better. Was right around 100 tackles each of the last 2 seasons. Pretty good in the pass rush, pretty good as a cover guy. You know, he's going to play every snap. I think, let me pull it up real quick. I think he had like 700. Yeah, he's played 700 plus snaps each of the last 2 seasons. So I expect him to probably step into a starting role. He's one of the guys where you're like, you know, he didn't come here to sit on the bench. He didn't come here to mentor younger guys. He came here to play at, you know, the Power 4 level. And, you know, our linebackers this last year weren't outstanding outside of the tackles or in pass coverage. And so I don't think he's not going to be a step back, really, I don't think, from the productivity we got at the position last year.
Yeah.
Ashton Woods, again, you know, was like an 89 rated 3-star, which, you know, if you follow 24/7 recruiting, 90 is a 4-star. So, you know, the highest level 3-star recruit that you could be. Obviously UNC's pretty big program. So to go there, you know, is, you know, to get recruited by there is a pretty big deal. So the pedigree's there. I watched his high school highlights. I think the feet are maybe a bit heavy where he's never going to be like an elite guy in space. But in terms of being a between the tackles guy, who's going to fucking meet you in the B gap and you're going to feel it. Like he's going to be a guy who can do that. So, yeah, 2 good pickups, you know, 1 for the future, 1 for right now, which great way to handle the situation, I think.
Yeah. And then let's move to the secondary, because I mean, I feel like, these are, we picked up 8 guys in the portal in the secondary,
yep.
All of which, all 8 of them have 1 year remaining. So these are all dudes who came to play.
Do you like the portal? Because we got some more portal for you coming up next year, buddy. Tell you
about that. Yeah. Don't, like, you need to learn their names, but not too well, because they will be gone. So you got 8 dudes in your corners and your safeties here. You know, hopefully all these guys are playable. But like I said, what I've noticed is all 8 of these guys have 1 year remaining. They're all coming to play, and they've all played a lot of football, like almost all of them.
And been good.
They've all been good. So let's start with the corners. So 4 corners picked up, and I'm trying to, some of these guys have sort of played in other places, but Jordan Scruggs, you've mentioned the big one, 80.8 grade on 662 snaps last year at South Alabama. He's going to be a massive pickup. I would imagine he's going to probably be a starting corner. You got Derek Carter, over 1,000 snaps at Jacksonville State. You got Michael Coates Jr. He has over 1,000 snaps at Nevada, 80.4 grade last year, and 4 interceptions. And then you got Devontae Golden Nelson, over 1,000 snaps at Akron, 65.5 grade last year. So between all those guys, I mean, you're looking at like 4, maybe over 5,000 snaps of experience in those 4 guys,
yep.
All of which have had multiple years of experience, and all of these had like some breakout performances or consistent high performance. I know you mentioned Scruggs and Coates probably being the big guys here. I mean, both of these guys were over 80 last year in PFF grades and over 80 in your college football grades.
Yep. Which is arguably the more important of the two, right? What does EA think about you?
True.
No, but yeah, I think the interesting piece or the interesting thing here is how the puzzle fits together. You know, I think one of the things that Neil Brown and his staff really struggled with was, you know, you did a thing here and you were good at it, but we think you can do this other thing. And, you know, and he was always talking about how we're playing guys at multiple positions and they can play multiple positions. And what it seemed like the result of that was that nobody ever got really good at like the one thing that they needed to do. Mm-hmm. And maybe look confused because they were not doing the thing that they were good at previously. And so, you know, I think the thing here is you have four corners coming in. Three of them are outside corners. Like if you look at their snap counts on PFF, Devontae Golden Nelson, Coates, and Derek Carter are 90% of the time they're lining up, you know, out wide as a traditional cornerback. Scruggs is very majority slot corner box safety. So I think there's potential for three of these guys potentially to start or play big snaps for us. Mm-hmm. I think Coates, you probably pencil in as a starter at one of the wide corner positions. I think Carter probably, you know, is going to be in competition for the other. You know, we bring Jacoby Spells back, who obviously that's what he does as well. He flashed early. He hasn't been good the last 2 years, but again, you know, a guy who was the highest rated player in the recruiting class that included Markiel and some other guys. So the pedigree's there. The athleticism's there. Can Zach Alley, you know, figure out a way to unlock it? I still think he can be a productive player. But, you know, I think you're looking at Carter and Coates probably as your two outside guys. Golden Nelson, good player, but was when, you know, if you just look at his overall grades, like his season to season grades, solid. But if you click into like the game by game grades, was very, very, very up and down, very inconsistent. So I would kind of probably put him, you know, I guess the outside track. Is that the opposite of the inside track? But then Scruggs, you know, I think, you know, every defense at this point plays nickel pretty much as their base, some version of a 4-2-5 or a 3-3-5. And I would think that he's going to be the leading candidate to start at, you know, that third cornerback, that box safety slot. Mm-hmm. Really, really, really good player. Consistently very good. You know, again, clicking into the game by game grades, was above 70 more than he was below 60. I think the only times he went sub 60 were against LSU, which obviously is a huge jump in competition for them, and Texas State, which was one of the better offenses in the country this year. So consistently very, very, very good player, and I would expect Coates and Scruggs probably to be, I don't want to say locked in as starters, but I would be surprised if they're not starting. And then I would put Carter right there in that competition for the other wide cornerback spot. So four really good pulls, because Golden Nelson was productive as well. Like I said, a little bit up and down, but was a good player at Akron.
Yeah, it's crazy the amount of experience getting in this room, just compared to how it feels like the secondary has been for years at West Virginia. And then flipping to safeties, you know, four more guys, all with at least three of them with lots of experience. And then I'm Justin Harrington, I wasn't seeing a lot of play. But so Jordan Walker from over 2,000 snaps at Chattanooga, mid-70s grades for his last 3 years. Fred Perry, this is a Jacksonville State guy, over nearly 2,000 snaps at Jacksonville State. It's kind of been trending down on the PFF grade the last couple of years, trended down to a 65 last season. Justin Harrington, minimal play at Oklahoma, and then last year was at Washington. So he played a lot for Oklahoma in 22, but then was injured in 23, and I don't think he played. Did he play like half the year maybe at Washington?
He played a lot of special teams. I think he appeared in 8 games, got hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he only had less than 10 defensive snaps, like true defensive snaps last year.
Yeah. And then your last transfer in here is William Davis. He's a 2-year starter at Virginia Union. So obviously taking a big step up here, but he was all conference. And you know, you have at least three dudes in the safety room now too, who are highly experienced. So really just the secondary, it's crazy of those 8 guys we described, what 6 of them over 1,000 snaps, and a handful of them over 2,000 snaps. I just like the experience. You're getting new coaches, new situation. You have guys who know how to play football at this level. That's exciting to me.
Yeah, I think this is another one where it's going to be interesting to see how Allie lines us up and to see how the puzzle pieces all fit together. Because, you know, you take Harrington, highest pedigree of any of them, was a 4-star coming out. Played in 13 games at Oklahoma in 2022. Started the first two games for them in 2023 before he got a season-ending injury. And then, you know, moved to Washington, and, you know, who knows? A lot of injuries are truly two-year injuries. You know, even if you are healthy and you can technically play, you're not all the way back until that second season. I think that's the hope here. And you know, I think it's a worthy flyer to take. You know, I think if you look at his snap counts, he's played some at free safety, but mostly it's been kind of a box safety kind of a role. Fred Perry has been almost evenly split between a box safety, slot corner type of thing, and free safety. Jordan Walker has played all over, but the majority of his snaps are at free safety, which I think is a need. The only person we really have, only people we have coming back who really play that position are Israel Boyce and Jason Cross. And Jason Cross I don't even think played last year. Boyce played a little bit and was okay at times and then pretty bad at times. So, you know, Jordan Walker coming up, like you said, he's been really consistent, 3-year starter at Chattanooga. Would not be shocked if he ended up starting at the free safety. Fred Perry, I expect to be in the mix all over the place. William Davis, I would think, kind of probably fits in. William Davis and Harrington, I'd see it probably as a 3-man rotation with Scruggs as kind of like that third, or as that fifth defensive back. You know, I think it's just going to be, and I guess the theme here, or the takeaway here, is that 8 guys coming in, I mean, you don't need all 8 to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need a couple of these guys to be quality players, and you're in a better situation than you were last year. So, really like the approach. A lot of 1-year guys, a lot of dudes, you know, you say contract year in the NFL. I mean, this is their last chance to make the league, right? Or to show that they are worthy of a practice squad or whatever it is, right? So, a lot of guys coming in with something to prove, which is good. Competition breeds success.
Yeah, and I'd say lots of competition.
Because
you have lots of guys coming in with a year remaining. All of the guys are going to want to play.
Yeah.
You know, none of these 100%. Guys, those last 8 we just mentioned, are going to want to sit there.
Yeah, all these dudes, with the exception of Harrington, all these dudes were the absolute shit at where they came from. You know, like, and so they're all going to be thinking that they're deserving of snaps. They're all going to be trying to prove that they're worthy of snaps. So I, you know, it... We said it a lot last year. It can't be worse, right? So,
nope.
I mean, literally last year was as bad as I can remember. So, it can't be worse than that, which means the only way to go is up. And I think there's the pieces here, you know, with an improved coordinator, which I don't think there's any question that we have upgraded, in that spot, that this secondary can be, you know, significantly better than it was a year. I'm not saying they're going to be one of the best 20 groups in the country, but, you know, average, above average, and that's a huge improvement from last year. So,
yeah. All right. Should we do some questions?
You don't want to talk about the Tulane kicker who missed 3 extra points last year?
Ethan Head. Sorry, Ethan. Yeah, we got a kicker transfer as well. He's still got 3 years remaining. I see you wrote he missed 3 extra points last year. That's not great.
That feels like a lot. 18 to 21 is pretty good for field goals. extra points. I don't know. If he can kick it in the end zone, though, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, questions. Do you have questions pulled up?
I can pull them up. We can also talk about college football playoff as we find them. How have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's obviously been some blowouts. There's been some good games, which I think people complain about the blowouts. It's like, dude, did you watch the NFL playoffs this year? Have you watched the NBA? Like, really. The NBA gets blowouts and finals. games. You know, it's
all the time.
Something that, it's just something that happens. It's like, who's ready to play on a given day? No, it's been good. You know, I think we've Ohio State would have been one of the two that I probably would have picked before the season. Notre Dame probably would not have been, but you know, it's been fun. I think it was an improvement over the 14 playoff. Wouldn't be shocked if they continue to expand because it's been fun. I would love it if they did more of the games on campus. Cause that first weekend, man, what was it? Who was it? Notre Dame, Indiana on that Friday night. Like, holy shit, that looked like a religious experience in South Bend. You know, not to be cheesy about it, but, it's been good. It's been good. I've enjoyed watching. I've watched almost all of every game and I will be watching all of the championship too. What are your thoughts? 12 teams good?
I think 12 teams has been good. Maybe consider the reseeding because I do feel like it was a little goofy that likely the two worst teams in the bracket were the 3 and 4 seed. That's unfortunate. And then you did get like Penn State with like a nice sort of pat. Like, I don't know. I think you just put the top four. I think you get auto qualifiers, but you put the top four teams at top four. And it's been great. And, you know, I to just tie all of in, college football is awesome because Ohio State and Notre Dame both lost a game this year that felt inexplicably season ending to Michigan and to Northern Illinois. And here they are in the national championship. They got a lot better and they fixed a lot of things. And hey, like it's kind of funny. There's a street near the stadium here in Columbus that they've renamed Undisputed Lane or whatever, because Ohio State like really flexes that they won the first playoff and it was an undisputed champion. And they might do it again in the 12 team. And they're going to double down hard on the undisputed part. But that aside, I do feel like it's cool that we actually get to see the top teams in college football duke it out, because there's just so much debate every year. And it is nice that we actually get the opportunity to watch the best teams play each other, where that has not always happened. I mean, these were the 7 and 8 seeds. They wouldn't even have made the 4-team playoff. So
yeah,
been cool to watch.
Yeah, no, I've really enjoyed it. Which way lean? I mean, I know you're rooting for Ohio State. Do you think they're going to win?
Oh yeah, I do. I do.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they're heavy favorites, right?
They should be. I mean, you know, $20 million on the roster, reportedly, and it shows.
They're loaded.
You know, they're fucking loaded, dude.
They're loaded everywhere but quarterback, and I think the quarterback's okay enough.
I think they have the better quarterback in the game.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, I like their coach better. No, sorry, I don't like their coach better.
that's a controversy.
But everything else, I like Ohio State. You know, I mean, Texas couldn't run it on them. Oregon couldn't do shit. You know, I think Oregon and Texas are as good or better than Notre Dame. But I mean, when you look at like what Notre Dame wants to run the ball, I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball. And I don't know if they're going to be able to have the same success passing. You know, it kind of honestly felt like some of their stuff, against Texas was a little bit of, or sorry, against Penn State was a little bit of bullshit. You know, they had that one, the big pass touchdown just floated up there. I don't know. Excuse me. But yeah, I think Ohio State's going to win.
Yep.
So we have questions. Do you want questions?
Let's do questions.
All right. So I was originally going to ignore this one because Cool Hand didn't tag West by Pod, but then he did. How's the basketball win over Colorado affect LeBron's legacy?
How did we tie this to LeBron? I don't know.
Colorado shares the four corners with Arizona, which is where Bryce James is going to college.
There it is.
And so it has absolutely no effect on LeBron's legacy.
Yeah. I think very minimal effect at best.
Do you think that Darian DeVries drinks Miller Lite, Bud Light, or Michelob as the cheap beer of choice? From anger.
He coins me as a Miller guy. Like, he's a ball knower like me. Like
that was my thought too. That's my tailgate beer, you know. Yeah. So
it's always, you know. Now, is he a High Life guy? That's the question. Are you team High Life? Because like I think given the option, I'm going with the High Life. It's a champagne of beers.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, probably.
A High Life pitcher at like sports.
He's a Midwest guy, and Midwest guys don't strike me as necessarily as concerned with light versus diesel. So yeah, High Life for sure.
Yeah.
From WVO7, do you think the altitude affecting the refs? Lots of questions about the Colorado basketball game. Do you think it affected the refs' ability to breathe, and that's why they blew the whistle every 20 seconds in the second half? Possibly.
It's possible.
Possibly. You got to give yourself a break. They can't call a timeout, you know? So,
got to call a foul. I do think the elevation is, like, one of those tricky things that'll get you. But we don't talk about it with other places because, like, there are other cities that are, like, higher than Denver. Denver's just actually, like, right at the mile line. But, like, I think, like, some of the other cities in, like, the Southwest are even higher. But I don't know. I'm sure it affects you. Yeah, I mean, it definitely affects you. I've done things at altitude. It's hard to go upstairs, and it's...
I guess the air inside the building is the same as the air outside of the building, I guess. You know, I was always...
Yeah, so...
Another one from Anger. Is Javon Small him?
Dude, he's him.
Yeah.
He's him. I mean, he is a dog. I mean, I think we're losing to Houston right now, and it's looking over, but...
It's over. Yeah.
He is having a like fringe National Player of the Year season. Like he's not going to win it, but he's like actually played that well so far this year.
I think the Evan Maya, National Player of the Year rankings, what he was like sixth or something the last time.
He's sixth in KenPom, which is a fully metrics based thing. He was like sixth in KenPom the other day.
Yeah. I mean, Big 12's leading scorer the last time that I checked. He was balling out tonight. Dude is a pure hooper, man. Yeah. You know, which I love. He does whatever the game asks of him, which I think is like close to the highest level of basketball. You know, like he's the Big 12's leading scorer. I think he would be just as happy averaging like 12 points a game and 8 assists if we were winning, you know, which special player. I've really, really enjoyed watching him this year. You know, and the basketball team as a whole. I mean, dude, we're 12-3, 3-1 in the conference without, you know, two of probably our four best players. So incredible.
It's true. It's incredible. It's been a welcome surprise.
Yeah. Braden J713 managing to get to 4-4 for the month feels like it would be big. What are the chances of splitting Houston and Iowa State?
Well, Houston's a nil.
Houston's no. Iowa State in the Coliseum.
I really hope that we get a vintage Coliseum night for Iowa State. It's a 5 o'clock tip on Saturday,
which is perfect. It's like a 3:30 basketball kick.
Yeah, so I don't know. I hope the students who have probably not had a lot to cheer for in recent years go and experience and get it, because every year I was in school. The 4 years I was in school at Morgantown, we beat Kansas, three of them, and we beat number one Baylor, the other one of them. So it was like every year we had just like a massive marquee win and rushed the court. Iowa State's coming in at number two. They beat Kansas tonight by like 17. They're maybe the best team in the country. Like, you got to make the Coliseum tough to play in, and I wish I was there. That'd be fun environment.
What size shirt do you think the coach wears, and how many sizes smaller than his real shirt size is it?
DeVry.
No, not DeVry, the Iowa State guy. What's his name? Otzelberger or something?
Otzel, yeah. Oh.
That dude wears the tightest shirts that I've ever seen in my life.
Is he jacked? Oh, he does wear a tight shirt. Dang. Edges no, he's looks uncomfortably tight.
No, he's not jacked.
He's like athletic, but not like jacked. Like
he looks like he drinks Miller High Life for sure.
It looks like he used to be an athlete, and now he drinks some High Life.
And now he drinks High Life 4 or 5 nights a week. Yeah,
I'm saying he's rocking a medium, and he's like large to extra large territory.
He could wear an extra large, yeah.
He could wear an extra large and it wouldn't look terrible.
It wouldn't look baggy.
And he's rocking the mead.
Oh. Respect. Anyways, yeah, fuck those guys. Let's fuck them up Saturday. I can't
There's
wait.
There's no way the top button on his polo would button. I'm just saying. There's no way.
That guy in a little shirt. Jay McCrack, when the fuck is the merch coming?
This off season.
Yeah, sometime. We've been busy, man. Shit, the holidays.
It's coming. We we're getting it. It's happening.
We have so no concrete plans. Like, we have not contacted vendors as far as I know, but we have had conversations about what the merch should be and what the logos and all that, the graphics should be.
We're thinking hats and shirts. And if there's other things, like, I don't know, stickers or other, I don't know. Let us know what you're thinking, but we're thinking hat, shirts, stickers, maybe to start.
Yep. SCTV man, with all the new coaching hires, do you think Rich Rod's leaning more running or passing? Definitely running. I think I had, he's had maybe one or two outliers as a head coach where the passing offense was as effective, as effective as the run offense, but always been run heavy. Last 2 years at Jacksonville State, he was 66% run. And from 05 to 07 at WVU, he was over 70% every year. So, yep. we're going to spot the goddamn ball and then we're going to run it.
Run the damn sure. ball.
From Dr. Feelgood, is my friend delusional for not being a WVU fan until Rich Rod wins a natty? Yes. Get behind the fucking boys, man.
I don't know who you're trying to impress. Just disrupt the golden blue.
Seriously. It's like, yeah, this is fucking, that's a hipster stance at this point. It's like, I'm anti-Rich Rod. It's like, okay. Or I'm not going to be a WVU fan because of Rich Rod. You know, don't care for it. New name, who dis? Which QB positions us better for the hypothetical CFP wins?
Is Henderson higher ceiling?
I think so, yeah. I guess just because I think he's a better runner, and that's obviously a big part of what we're going to be trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Hendo. Hendo would be my answer.
Yeah.
He's Pinto approved, TM. Boom. Stamp.
Stamped.
From Slaw, which position group has you the most excited going into the spring? Is the TAMU transfer going to beat out Nico? We've kind of already answered some of that. Like, I think he has every shot. I don't think Nico's a favorite. As far as position groups, you know, I think the running back room is the one you have to look at offensively as the one that's in the best shape right now. And then defensively, oddly, man, I'm curious to see how the secondary shakes out. You know, I think we highlighted a lot of those guys. I think we have a lot of nice pieces. Spells back, maybe Allie can unlock him. KK Tarnu was not that great last year, but was awesome at Jacksonville State the year before that under Zach Allie as mostly a slotter and outside cornerback. We tried to play him at fucking free safety, you know. And so it probably the prime example of like, why are we asking this guy to do something that, you know, he never showed that he was good at. I think the secondary might surprise people defensively. So I don't know. Are you eyeing any other groups up?
I was going to say, offensive line, I'm morbidly curious, and secondary, I'm like, I might not wince in pain when they play. So that's pretty exciting for me, actually.
Huge improvement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Night 676. So this is on 113. What's today? The 15th. Mm-hmm. Are you concerned about the lack of wins against other P4 teams in terms of recruiting? Do you think, first of all, no. I mean, Tykeus Crawford was committed to UCLA. We flipped him. Michael Coates was scheduled to visit Ole Miss, who pays people, and we convinced them not to go on the visit. So I think we're being selective about who we target. Obviously we're not going to beat, an Alabama or an Auburn or, you know, an Ohio State for high level transfers. But I think we're showing that we're swimming with the big boys. I mean, shit, the Zach Alley thing. We plucked Zach Alley from Oklahoma. I mean, that's big boy shit. So, no, I'm not super concerned about that. Are you?
I'm not. No, I mean, I feel like a lot of the times, a lot of the transfers are either bubbling up from lower schools or they're at big schools and not getting play. It's rare you see Power Four guys doing great and moving. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. Clearly it does. Like Hudson Clement, it happened. We guys move. But I don't think that's an indicator of good or bad. I think that's... You're going to get a lot more better guys bubbling up than great guys just bouncing around teams in Power Four level.
Yep. And we're always going to be a team that is either dude who is, you know, wants to play more at a Power Four school or dude who excelled at a lower level and is trying to move up. Like that's our lane for better or worse.
So. I think until we win the third natty and add the 110,000th seat to the stadium, that's probably where we're going to be.
I'll let you know what Frank Ruggs has to say about it.
Do you want to read your fan fiction?
My fan fiction? So I restarted my offline West Virginia CFB dynasty when Rich Rod was hired, and we went to a spot the ball custom playbook that obviously features, you know, spotting the ball, quarterback runs, all that kind of stuff. Garrett Green took us to the promised land. We made the playoff as a 12 seed. Won the national championship in the first year. Green ran for over 1,000 yards in the regular season. Awesome. Incredible. Nico had two decent years, back-to-back playoff appearances. The 2025, we went undefeated, won the Big 12, and then got bounced in the quarterfinals. Was pretty disappointed about that. Came back the next year, lost twice in the regular season, but then made the playoffs as like an 8 seed after winning the conference and then got beat in the semifinals. Now Rich Rodriguez hands the keys of his offense over to Morgantown's own Frank Ruggs, a 4-star signal caller.
Buy stock now.
With a rocket arm and speed to burn. He made some cameo appearances in the 26 playoff run to preserve his red shirt, but I pulled him in the playoffs. Ran for over 200 yards and, you know, a couple touchdowns, threw for a couple touchdowns, and Mountaineer Nation is buzzing. And now he's had his first start, walked into Bryant Denny, and beat Alabama's ass in his first career start. So we're fucking ready to rock and roll. Frank Ruggs, we're going to build the statue at some point. The jersey's getting retired, you know, but we're very excited about Frank Ruggs. Dude, he was the only dude who had me first on his interest. Morgantown quarterback, 4-star, elite dev trait. First on the interest level, wire to wire. It was never even fucking close. He's the prodigal son, man. He's going to take us back to the mountaintop.
Straight out of Motown.
Anyways, Knight 676 goes on to ask about high school recruiting versus Portal. It's definitely, Portal has been prioritized, right? Because it's more of a known quantity. But I do think that may give you more of an opportunity to steal some guys at the high school level. And we're always going to be a program, you know, our best guys are always going to, there's always going to be the risk of them getting plucked, but we're always going to be a developmental program, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I said, because the dudes we're getting out of the portal are either going to be dudes who were down the depth chart at a big school or were good at a lower level, and there's always a level of risk with that. So I think the core always has to be the high school recruiting.
Yeah, I agree. And just the transitional years with coaching, just moving, you're going to always get more portal. I don't expect us to be as portal heavy as the recruiting establishes with the new guys.
Yep. Which position group are you most concerned about?
Well, pending the one guy, have we done enough on the D line?
Yeah, that's my answer too. Yeah. If we get him, I feel a lot better about it. If we don't get him, then that's something we need to address, post spring.
Yep.
For sure.
There's still time.
From Base, is Rich Rod's recruiting method enough to win year one? What is the long-term outlook of the roster?
The long-term outlook of the secondary is you got a bunch of guys with 1 year left. So you need to figure out what the next generation looks like. Is it enough to win year one? I mean, I think it's enough to be plenty competitive year one. I don't think we're going to win the conference, but I think we are going to have a chance to line up and maybe outcoach some teams or outscheme some teams or be competitive with some teams. I don't think there's going to be a large subset of the teams in the Big 12 that we can't play with next year. We might be on the lower half of the roster talent, but we'll see. We don't know. It's hard to, you know.
How many times have we said outcoach or outscheme in the last 6 years?
In referring to what happened to Neil Brown or?
Yes. Just related to football.
I don't think there's anything more frustrating as a fan than feeling like you had a better team and feeling like you lost a game that you shouldn't. Like that's always such a frustrating thing where you're like, how did they beat us? They stink.
Yep. And we felt like that a lot. Let's see. Will the men be ranked at any point in the season after today? I think this again was after the Colorado game. Probably not. I mean, we're getting into the meat of it here.
We're probably like right there a little above halfway in the conference. And the Big 12 is not what it has been in years past.
No, it's good, not.
But it's not what it was like in 2018 or those years.
Yep.
Could be in the tournament though.
I think we'll make the tournament. We have a good chance to make the tournament ranked. I'm not sure.
Handle business here in the tournament.
Yep. Spidey 616. When I win the bowl pick'em, should my reign be tyrannical or kind? Tyrannical, always. Iron Fist. Speaking of Iron Fist, have you played any Marvel Rivals?
I have not.
Oh, blast. Did you ever play Overwatch?
I did not.
Okay, well.
I'm not in the know.
So there'd be a learning curve. Anyways, it's a lot of fun. Just Marvel characters fighting each other. It's a good time. Ben in Chicago, as somebody who lives in Illinois, is Huddy aware of how Champaign Urbana is probably the most boring college town in America? Now, this is what made me have the thought earlier of, has he ever been outside of West Virginia as not a representative of the team?
When I was looking at grad schools, Illinois was one of my potentials. And I was like, do I want to live in Urbana, Champaign, or Columbus? And I was like, well, that's a no-brainer. I don't want to go out there.
I've never been there, but I've never heard anything good about it.
I've never heard anything about it, actually.
I've never heard anything about it, period. Yeah.
No, it might not be real.
From Irrational, what does successful year one look like? Just beat Pitt and be bowl eligible? Yeah. That's Pitt, a successful year one to me.
Beat Pitt by at least 2 touchdowns. Undefeated in the blue lot.
Well, that's not a question. Yeah, we're going to have fun, Joel. We're going to have fun.
Have fun.
I'm going to have a goddamn
blast. Piss flames in the blue lot porta potties.
Yeah, I think if you make a bowl, if you beat Pitt, that's going to be plenty to keep people satisfied. If you do anything above that, I mean, if you win 7-8 games, people are going to be beside themselves, I think. So,
yeah.
Yeah. From Idiosync, in the NIL/portal era, is the climb bullshit? And have we heard any confirmation that boosters are or aren't opening their wallets more than they had in the Brown era? I do think the climb is a little bit bullshit. Just, I mean, look how many teams, Indiana this year made the playoffs with like 30 transfers. Arizona State won the Big 12 and took Texas right to the wire in the college football playoff with a bunch of transfers in year two of Dillingham. So yeah, I don't think the argument that you need 3 or 4 years of your guys, you need a full recruiting cycle to show signs of progress holds any water anymore.
I agree with that statement. I will say I do believe in program momentum. And like if you're selling good and you're winning games, that is a climb of the program as a whole. And, you know, that's going to attract recruits and attract good things and money. Yep. And, you know, I think if you ever, in your wildest dreams, if you ever want West Virginia to become like what Clemson was for some years or something like that, you have to have those like stepping stones of like, good years, success, breeds recruits, breeds.
Sure. That stuff. You need the proof of concept, right? Like next year. Yes. 100% agree. Like if you get the proof of concept this year of like, oh, Rich Rod still has it. The offense works. Like the quality of recruits that we're going to be able to go after next year, both high school and in the portal, is going to take a jump.
Dudes are going to want to come play.
Yeah. Yep. Let me see. What else do we have?
Imagine
here?
if the portal era existed with Pat White and Steve Slayton, and people saw what we were doing, the kind of guys who would want to come to Morgantown? Could you imagine? I mean, not to say that
they sure, I can imagine. Sure,
not
I can.
We want to pluck those guys out of Morgantown too, but like, could you imagine the people would be like, "Yeah, I want to go play in that offense." Yeah, I want to go play defense for a team that offense is going to score 50 a game.
Joel, why didn't we just win the one game and then we would have won the next game?
We're not going to go.
And then Terrell Pryor would have come, and maybe we would have never lost again. Possible.
Man, I know. It's we're not going to go there.
He would have studied for a year under Pat White, and then we would have won four consecutive national championships.
That's how it worked in my NCAA 06 dynasty, man.
Yeah.
Just how it worked.
All the proof we need. I think that might have been the last question, unless you have seen any others. But
no, that's all I saw. So yeah, I guess we gotta figure out some off-season content, some merch.
Great suggestions so far. I think the rewatching games and podcasts of, you know, of like the rewatchable Rich Rod games. I think we should kind of start at the beginning. You know, start with some early like 2001, 2002 joints, and do a game or two from each season, and just like kind of go through. Fun.
We could, yeah, because, like, you know, I don't know if you've ever listened to, like, some of the Bill Simmons rewatchable stuff, but, you know, you almost give, like, a homework assignment. Like, next week we're doing this, and everybody can watch it, and then we will react to it.
Yep. That could be sure. Fun. Yep. Cool. Down with that. New suggestions always welcome. Yeah. To Joel's point about the merch, anything you'd like to see besides shirts and hats, we're probably going to start small, you know. We build one block at a time. The climb is real for West by Pod, so.
The pod momentum is unconstrained.
Swelling. I haven't checked our rankings in Poland lately, but I have to imagine we're higher than 37th now.
I will say our last two episodes, I don't know if our last two. I'll look really quick as I'm wrapping up here, but we've had two episodes recently that were our two best episodes ever. So thank you guys for listening.
Yeah.
Definitely been cranking around the big news days. Yeah, our top two podcasts of all time. Actually, here's our do you want to live guess what you think our top five podcast episodes are of all time?
Shit. Well, so the last two.
So the last two. Number one podcast we've had is Rich Rod Returns, episode 106. Our number two podcast is Neil Brown Out, episode 105. And our next three, number three is Penn State Deep Dive 2024. Lots of excitement. Number four is the 2024 schedule reaction last February. And then our number five is the Penn State preview. So the peak was preseason, which is how college football content works.
We were all trusting the climb so goddamn hard at that point, man. This is like,
I must say, our number six was our most recent episode, the bowl recap and what's next. So our last three episodes have been three of our top six pods ever. So one, two, sweet. And six. So thank you guys for listening. It's been cool. And yeah, we should have some cool stuff coming in the off months. If you need some basketball fixes, I mean, we talked a little hoops, but make sure you're checking out Unreasonable Doubt. That's your WVU basketball podcast through Smoking Musket. And
guy pumps one out after every game.
After every game. And yeah, he does great work. And, you know, basketball team is worth being knowledgeable about this year and hopefully going forward. So that program also, Unconstrained Climb. Make sure you're in the Discord. That's where most of the questions are. I think all the questions are coming from. Everybody tag Elon Musk and tell him to free West by Pod Twitter account because it is locked. Actually, it's not locked. You still have access, but we can't share access. I don't know. We're still working on that. We're trying to figure.
We've submitted a support ticket to X. They're trying to figure out how to parlay the Trump inauguration into massive stockholder gains.
They said they will unlock when we donate $1,000. They said they'll donate they said they'll unlock when we donate to Trump's inauguration fund. And like, we're just a small podcast, guys. Come on.
Yeah. We're trying our best. We can pay the bills, but I haven't told my wife to quit her job yet. So, yeah, All right. I'm good.
Yep. Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time.
All right, gang. Take care.
1, 2.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.